Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You have made it. It is Friday. The end of the week is here. The weekend is near. Happy Friday to you all on this October 18th, 2019. It's a really nice fall day, isn't it? Temps in the 50s, the sun is out. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Hope you guys have a great weekend out there. But before you do, right now, presently, in the moment, at 1 p.m., you are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am the captain of this ship, your host, Al Martin, and we've got a lot to get to. A lot to talk about going into the weekend. We'll touch on college football. Of course, Michigan will be taking on Penn State, the Nittany Lions, tomorrow afternoon. Want to touch on that. Michigan will, you know, give its first, you know, give the first shot, I guess you can say, at trying to knock off Penn State tomorrow before Michigan State will have that opportunity. Next weekend, next Saturday. So we'll touch on that. I do, though, want to talk about Juwan Howard, who made quite the splash this week when it comes to the landing of a five-star player. This is the big splash that Howard was hoping to make since getting the job as the head man in charge of the University of Michigan men's basketball program. John Beilein taking his talents to the NBA and handing over the keys to Howard. And this is a pretty big get. I was actually chatting with our dear friend of the show, Deshaun Tate of 92.9 down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. College basketball reporter, producer, and host, Deshaun Tate, and he immediately texted me, I believe it was last night, saying that, oh boy, watch out, Michigan landing this player, this is huge. Deshaun got a chance to cover this player in the AAU circuit, loves him, and at one point believed that this player was the number one high school player in the entire nation. All right, so we'll touch on that. Also, you guys know that the playoffs in Major League Baseball are in full gear right now. And the Washington Nationals are awaiting the final between the New York Yankees and the Houston Astros in that series. And that one is, you know, is coming down to the wire in that one. And what I want to do is welcome to the hour Aaron Eschels, who has a direct tie to WKAR's Current Sports. She used to be a beat reporter for us a few years back when she was a part of the Journalism 418 class. And now she has done some amazing things since graduating Michigan State University with her degree in journalism, as she is a part of the production and broadcast team for the Washington Nationals. I've been following Erin on her social media pages. She's been right there on the field with the team, rocking the championship shirts and getting ready to cover the World Series. How cool is that? And I believe she has also won an Emmy for her fantastic, fantastic work behind the camera.
So I'm really looking forward to chatting with Erin about her experience with the Washington Nationals, how she ended up landing that gig after graduating and walking across that stage at the Breslin Center and getting that degree, earning that degree. And how does she land the job with the Nets? Very, 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 very cool stuff. So we'll chat with Erin Eschels. And then we will have Reflection Friday for you, where we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports and Beyond. But you know what's next? Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Start here. Patrick Cuadrarico is a vet of exhibition games matching Michigan State and the U.S. National Development Team programs under 18 team. The Spartan Senior Center has been on both sides of it, playing in this game for the last four seasons. He's won three times with Michigan State and lost once with the U18s. And tonight, Cuadrarico will play in his last Michigan State versus U.S. 18 game, trying to make it four straight victories against some of the best 17-year-olds in the United States. Now, the Spartans sitting at 1-1 overall, and the U.S. U18s will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at Mount Ice Arena. The U.S. team is 1-4 against Division I college teams this season and 4-4 overall. The Spartans have won the last five games against the NTDP's U18 team, but the games have been competitive, and most were close. So tonight, Michigan State hockey versus the U18s at 7 p.m. All right, Michigan State women's volleyball gets its first home weekend in Big Ten play when it will play host to Rutgers tonight at 7 p.m. and number 8 Penn State on Sunday at 2 p.m. this weekend. Michigan State has had just one home match since the third week of the pre-conference season, but will play its next four on its home court. Sunday's match will air live on ESPN. Paul Sunderland and Holly McPeak are on the call for Jennison Fieldhouse. The match is also available online courtesy of the ESPN app. Tonight's match will have a live stream on BTN Plus. MSU and Rutgers stage their only meeting of the season tonight. MSU is a perfect 10-0 against the Scarlet Knights all time, including a pair of victories in 2018. Rutgers enters the weekend with a 6-11 overall record and 0-6 record in conference action. The Scarlet Knights season has been a story of winning and losing streaks after dropping their first three matches of the season. RU's six victories came all in a row before its most recent eight-game skid, which includes each of its first six Big Ten contests. All right, Michigan State field hockey returns to Ralph Young Field today to take on Penn State for Senior Day. After this matchup, the Spartans will welcome number 18 Rutgers to Ralph Young Field on Sunday, October 20th at 12 p.m., so this Sunday. The Spartans are off to a 6-7 start for the 2019 year with wins over St. Francis, Kent State, Ball State, Miami of Ohio, UC Davis, and Ohio. Six of MSU's seven losses have come to ranked opponents. Number 12, Louisville. Number 3, UConn. Number 7, Northwestern. Number 8, Iowa. Number 9, Michigan. Number 20, Wake Forest as well. And MSU looks for its first big win of the season this weekend after an 0-4 start and losses to number 7, Northwestern. Number 8, Iowa. Number 9, Michigan. And Indiana. So, Michigan State field hockey in action this weekend. All right, the University of Michigan football program, number 16 in the nation, will have another big test in the Big Ten as they take on number 7 Penn State tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Both of these Big Ten East challengers face future dates with Ohio State. So it goes without saying that this is a virtual must-win for each. In theory, the Nittany Lions have some margin for error since they enter without a loss. But they can't afford to let this primetime opportunity in front of their raucous fans slip away. If the Wolverines can somehow get out of State College with a W, I don't think they will. But the narrative of another season of underachievement would suddenly get turned on its head. So we'll see what happens. Can the Wolverines pull off the miracle? Only time will tell. All right. While Western Michigan football has enjoyed a 4-0 record at home this season, road games have not been nearly as kind to them. The Broncos come into their college football game on Saturday against Eastern Michigan with an 0-3 record and have dug themselves big holes early in each of those games. The Eagles are 0-2 and have a program that has been predicated on their defense the last couple of seasons under head coach Chris Creighton. But this year, they have taken a step back on that side of the ball. As a unit, they rank 106th in college football. When it comes to total defense, they are allowing 447 yards per game, 6.25 yards per play. They have been hurt by the big play several times this season, especially in their 42-16 loss at Central Michigan a couple of weeks ago. That game will take place tomorrow night at 7 p.m., EMU versus WMU. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we'll be talking more about this in just a moment, but Juwan Howard secured his first major recruiting victory as the Michigan basketball head coach. Thursday, he landed a commitment from five-star forward Isaiah Todd, the highest-ranked recruit in program history. Todd, a 6'10" power forward from Raleigh, North Carolina. He announced his commitment to the Wolverines around 7:45 p.m. on Thursday, joining four-star guard Zeb Jackson in what's now looking like a loaded 2020 recruiting class. Now, Todd is the number 12 player in the class, the number 2 power forward in the nation, and number 1 player from the state of North Carolina. That's according to 247 Sports. Now, on October 7th, Todd announced he would be choosing between Michigan and Kansas. It's unclear if the threat of serious NCAA violations pushed Todd away from Kansas, but the Jayhawks did receive a commitment from four-star forward Gethro Mukinen earlier in the day. The commitment, along with 13 recent 247 Sports crystal ball predictions in favor of Michigan, hinted that the Wolverines, had the edge in Todd's recruitment. So Todd also chose Michigan over offers from college basketball blue bloods like Kentucky and North Carolina. He had offers from Villanova, Florida, Virginia, and Memphis as well. But this is a very big get for Juwan Howard and his coaching staff. All right. The Detroit Lions will get into some more NFC North action after a heavily controversial game against the Green Bay Packers with many missed calls, a lot of angry fans in the mitten, to the point that the billboards have been popping up around the state of Michigan depicting refs with cheese heads. Kid you not. Yeah, this is how far some fans have taken it, purchasing billboards going at the referees for that loss on Monday Night Football. The Lions are thankful they have a short week to prepare to play Minnesota in a possible pivotal NFC North matchup. A quick turnaround gave the Lions less time to lament critical calls that didn't go their way on Monday night in that loss at Green Bay. Frank Ragnow had this to say, quote, "It's kind of a blessing in disguise because we don't have time to think about anything but Minnesota. And the Vikings are really good, especially on defense." So the Vikings have won 2 in a row, leaning on one of the NFL's best defenses and an offense that is starting to perform up to its potential. Minnesota has averaged 33 points the past 2 weeks with a grinding run game led by Dalvin Cook that helps alleviate some pressure off of the shoulders of Kirk Cousins, who has made some big plays through the air. Ever since he's been called out by Adam Thielen and, you know, Stephon Diggs not showing up to the team meetings, Kirk Cousins has been pretty good these last 2 weeks. So, Cousins, he had 6 touchdown passes and 1 interception in wins over Philly and the New York Giants. So, we'll see what happens this weekend as Kirk and the Vikings will play Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. All right, the Detroit Red Wings continue their struggles as they lost 5-1 against the Calgary Flames last night. Jimmy Howard and the rest of the defense struggled again as they gave up 5 in the past 3 games. Their record is now 3-4-0 on the year. They continue that Canadian trip tonight as they face Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers tonight at 9 p.m. And the Detroit Pistons have exercised their $5.3 million team option on Luke Kennard for the 2020-2021 season. Kennard was drafted 12th overall in the 2017 NBA draft and has averaged 8.6 points, 2.6 boards, 1.8 assists in 136 career NBA games. Last year, he averaged career highs in points, rebounds, assists, while shooting a team-high 39% from the three-point line and connecting on a career-high 106 three-pointers. So I like this. And in last season's playoffs, Kennard averaged 15 points, 4 boards, 1.8 assists, and shot almost 50% from the field and 60% from behind the arc. So hopefully Kennard continues to trend upward for the Detroit Pistons. He is the best shooter on the team, so definitely need some production from him this year. And last but not least, the Houston Astros took a commanding 3-1 lead over the New York Yankees as their offense was steady, scoring 3 runs in the 3rd inning and the 6th inning as they won 8-3 on the road at Yankee Stadium. Carlos Correa and George Springer both erupted for 3 ribbies. Zach Greinke, he played stellar, only giving up 1 run in 4 innings, pitched and got 5 Ks. Yankees fans, yeah, some acting like sore losers, made fun of Greinke's social anxiety by throwing insults and heckles his way. And I don't know if you guys have seen Spike Lee. He's been in the crowd really giving it to the opposition. I love Spike, man. He is just a die-hard New York sports fan. You got to respect that.
Hey, anyone who can tolerate the Knicks for as long as he does, he deserves it all.
Yeah,
he deserves
definitely.
It.
Definitely. I got to props to Spike Lee, man. He loves his sports. Got to love that. Okay, next game tonight, 7:08 p.m. at Yankee Stadium. You can catch that one on FS1. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that video, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Standing here before you as a proud parent, son, officer, member of this community, my mother, my brothers, my daughter, my grandson, we all represent the name Michael Jordan. You see my name, but yet you see a lot of people behind me and the commitment to being a part of a community that matters. I had an opportunity to meet Carl and Jesse, and we've had partners over the years with the basketball team as well as with Novant Health. As you can see, it's a very emotional thing for me. Be able to give back to the community that's supported me over the years. When I was playing the game of basketball, to now where I'm a part of this community. I think the partnership goes a long way in providing needs to this community here, less than fortunate people. The money doesn't matter. The name really doesn't matter. It's the commitment that I partnered up with unbelievable partners to see a need within this community based on the stats that I'm pretty sure you guys have heard and read about, that is devastating to make an impact and to make a change. This is just a start. As I told Carl and I told the doc, is that the needs is going to outsource, you know, what we have started here, and we're going to have to continue this process.
Happy Friday to you all. That was the voice of Michael Jordan. I just wanted to shout out the GOAT before I proceed here. MJ, the greatest basketball player to ever do it. He was pretty emotional yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that video, but that was audio from his press conference in which MJ unveiled the first of two medical clinics that him and his family funded to provide care to underprivileged members of the community. How awesome is that? So the six-time NBA champ and owner of the Charlotte Hornets, he was on hand for the grand opening of the $7 million Novant Health Michael Jordan Family Medical Clinic. How awesome is that? And you can just tell how passionate he is about it as tears stream down his face. And you know, it's just an awesome, awesome thing when you see an athlete, especially of Michael Jordan's stature, who, let's be honest, MJ has taken some flack throughout his career for not, you know, for being criticized for not giving back enough to his community, which is crazy to me. But in recent years, MJ has really been doing some awesome things, including this. So shout out to Michael Jordan. And shout out to all of our listeners out there, whether you may be driving around and you know, you have AM 870 or 105.1 FM on your radio dial, or you may be listening to the podcast version at WKAR.org right now, or you may be watching the live stream like many of you are doing. What's up, Ben, Chris, James, Mike, who's actually, Mike is listening on his smart speaker outside as he rakes the leaves. Mike, thank you so much. That's really cool stuff. So Mike is raking leaves and he's listening to Current Sports on this Friday afternoon. And Mike goes on to say, finally a day where it isn't blowing or raining. So yeah, it's a gorgeous fall day today. This is like the ideal fall day. Temps in the 50s and it is beautiful outside. But yeah, Chris, Ben, Mike, Steven, all you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Much appreciated. We love you. We love the Current Sports family. And Alec Rio is behind the glass. And Alec, you chimed into my ear as we were playing that audio from MJ, you know, in that amazing philanthropic endeavor that he has undertaken. And you said, Al, I saw the Joker last weekend, and you believe it's one of the best acting performances you have ever seen in your life. Wasn't it amazing?
Yeah, it's just like the mental unraveling of an individual, you know, as, you know, events just happen over and over and over again to him. But like, it's just insane. Just like and it's also interesting to me how they only chose like one song for like the whole soundtrack, you know? Yeah. They only had one like little piece of music, that's it. But I mean, it did its part, because that was ominous, I'll tell you that.
Joaquin Phoenix is an animal. The dude, just give him the Oscar now. Just, it doesn't matter what other movies are out. Joaquin Phoenix, if he doesn't get an Oscar for that, that's a crime. And it will be the second actor, if he does indeed receive an Oscar for that movie, he will be the second actor who has played the Joker who receives an Oscar. We all know that Heath Ledger, he received the posthumous Oscar after he passed away
unfortunately, for his depiction of the Joker in The Dark Knight. So, yeah, amazing, amazing movie. I need to go see it again. I am going to see it again very, very soon. I was just sitting there like, man. A lot of people don't know. I don't know if I've announced this on the show or shared it with you all, but I've been acting now for, a little over a year and a half now? It'll be 2 years in January, and, you know, that's... That's one of the films that I looked at and saw for the first time and said, yeah, I need to do some homework. I gotta do some homework because, man, that kind of performance just inspires you. So, mad respect to Joaquin Phoenix. All right, mad respect to Juwan Howard because this was big news. And I see Deshaun Tate, he's watching the current sports live stream right now courtesy of Facebook. You know, Deshaun and I, we had a conversation late last night, but I don't think I responded until this morning. We were talking about how big of a move this is because Deshaun, as soon as he heard word that the University of Michigan had landed Isaiah Todd, you know, Deshaun hit me up and said, Al, this is a game changer. I mean, this kid is really, really good. I'll read to you the text that Deshaun actually sent me. He said, quote, U of M lands Isaiah Todd, a really, really good player. One of my top faves in this class, a real problem. Former number one player in this class, ending freshman year. I love this kid. So, yeah. And Deshaun went on to tell me that he would buy stock in this kid. He could be really good at U of M, especially playing for a coach at that same position. You know, Howard, similar background, right? And what's remarkable to me, because that's the big question that people had. You know, how good of a recruiter could Juwan Howard be? Can Juwan Howard be out there in A squared? And look, I'm in the minority in saying this, but and I still stand by this. I really do believe that Juwan Howard is going to do a solid job out there in Ann Arbor. Why? Because I think Juwan Howard can win a lot of recruiting battles just because he's Juwan Howard. Now, let me explain that. Juwan Howard is one of the very few coaches out there who can say that he had a really illustrious NBA career, a really illustrious playing college basketball career back in the 90s with the Fab Five, played with some pretty big names once he got to the NBA and the likes of, what's his name? LeBron James. I mean, he can relate to kids because of his background and experience. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like the conversation we had on yesterday's Current Sports, Alec, when it comes to big-time college athletes. We touched on this in the realm of college football when discussing why we are seeing, you know, all these transfers in the wheelhouse of MSU football. And at the end of the day, top talent wants to put themselves in the best position to get to the pros. How quick can you get to me? How quick can you get me to the pros? But also, you know, looking at the overall position, can I get playing time? What kind of exposure can you give me? That kind of thing. And when you have a guy like Juwan Howard who has an extensive NBA career, a long NBA career, you know, he's played with the second best basketball player of all time, in my estimation, alongside LeBron James. You know, he had so much success at the University of Michigan. You know, he's not old. he can relate to these young men. And that was the deciding factor for Isaiah Todd when making this decision. And to kind of put that influence in perspective here, I mean, Juwan Howard was late to the game in his recruitment of Isaiah Todd. You know, he watched Todd play on the AAU circuit in Indy just in May. That's it. You know, just 5 months later, Isaiah Todd commits to Howard's program. I mean, Todd, again, five-star forward, number 12 overall player in the 2020 class. He picked the Wolverines over Kansas. And this is the first big recruiting victory of Howard's tenure. So, You know, 6 months ago, we saw Todd release a top 10 list that did not include the Wolverines. And even when, you know, U of M entered the fray this summer, the recruitment, it still seemed like it could go in any other direction but Ann Arbor. But when you hear what Todd had to say in regards to Juwan Howard, I mean, you understand it. At the end of the day, this was about how you know, you relate to a guy. You know, how you have a certain synergy with somebody. And can you get me to the next level? That's what it's really about. And for Isaiah, you know, he mentioned the reason why he chose to go with Juwan Howard in the University of Michigan is because, you know, hey, he played my same position when he was in college. You know, he's played in the NBA. We just clicked. And I think you are going to hear that a lot when it comes to young players who commit to the Michigan basketball program. Now, the big question, though, all fine and dandy, and this is a big mystery, you know, what kind of style will Juwan Howard run on the court for the University of Michigan? Don't know. He hasn't given us really much insight. Will it be a run-and-gun style? Will it be one? Will it be a team identity that's focused more on shooting, like much like John Beilein's? Will it be one that's centered on toughness and hard-nosed defense? We don't know. But at the end of the day, I always say in the sport of basketball, talent outweighs everything, especially in college hoops. If you have a talented roster, you can go pretty far. Now, again, I get it. You can bring up, oh, what about Kentucky that 1 year, Al, when they had like 20 number ones and they end up losing the whole thing? That's just the tournament. That's how the tournament goes sometimes. You know, you catch somebody on a bad shooting night, you know, in a one-and-done elimination scenario, anything could happen. All right, yeah, we saw Middle Tennessee State beat Michigan State that 1 year. Syracuse stunned Michigan State in what was basically a home game. Yeah, things happen in the tournament, but most of the time, if you got a really talented roster with some pretty big names in the sport of hoops, you're going to go pretty far. So this is a big get. No denying it. And now we'll see as time continues to move forward here, we'll see if Juwan Howard can continue to get those big four or five-star recruits. No doubt about it, though, this is a big win for the Wolverines. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk some baseball. And we're going to invite a dear friend of the show. We haven't heard from her in a while. She has moved on to bigger and better things since helping out us here at WKAR's Current Sports. I am immensely proud of what she has done in her still very young career. Aaron Eschels, production and broadcast specialist for the Washington Nationals, will join us on the other side of this break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Alec Ben comments and says that nobody will beat the Jack Nicklaus Joker or the Heath Ledger Joker. I think Heath's Joker beats Jack's Joker, and I think Joaquin Phoenix's Joker beats Jack's Joker. No offense to Jack. Jack did an amazing job back in the day with that Joker. That was my childhood watching Jack play Joker, but Heath and Joaquin bring a darkness, a depressing, sad darkness that is the reality of that character. So I gotta, and Joaquin and Heath, you can go back and forth. I mean, Heath was so good in that role.
He was.
I hate comparing those two because they were both so good in their respective, you know, when it comes to their respective arc. Okay. So
yeah, and
hard to compare. I don't like doing that. I don't like comparing art like that. But I get it.
Like, I mean, the two plots to the movies, it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges. I mean, come on, like. Both of them, they're just really different in how they portray it. Yeah. But, I mean, we could go back and forth all the time. But, I mean, at least we can all agree that Jared Leto's Joker was by far the worst.
Yeah, Jared Leto?
Yeah, Jared Leto, yeah.
Was pretty bad. Very forgettable. Thank goodness. Very, very forgettable.
Yeah.
I forgot all about him playing the Joker in Suicide Squad. So, all right. Well, we got Erin Eschels. She's waiting patiently right now on line one. I'm excited to have her on the show because this is an exciting time in her career. You know, I got the opportunity to cover a World Series when I first got the gig at Channel 6 News, WLNS TV 6, as a rookie reporter. Only like 5 months on the job when I got hired, I was sent to cover the Detroit Tigers and San Francisco Giants series, which was amazing. I was there in the locker room when the Tigers lost, unfortunately. But, you know, I remember, you know, getting champagne, throwing on my suit and everything and doing my stand-up on the field, seeing the World Series trophy hover above my head. Just an amazing, amazing experience. And now, Erin Eschels, former Current Sports production assistant and beat reporter, who has gone on now to do some amazing, amazing things. None bigger than this, though. Covering the World Series as a production and broadcast specialist with the Washington Nationals. She now joins us on line one. Erin, you got to be feeling pretty good. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Al. Yeah, this has been crazy. A whirlwind of a week. My goodness.
I'm sure. And, you know, before we dive into what this experience has been like for you and the team, I want to flip the switch and take it back just a little bit, because it wasn't too long ago when you were helping us out here at WKAR. Can you take us back to when you graduated and how you went about starting your career in this field?
Yeah, sure. It was funny. I was just Googling all my old stories from Michigan State. I need to work on those voiceovers a little bit more. They're pretty sad, but I did a lot at Michigan State. I worked with you, which was awesome because you were so great and let me do whatever sport I wanted to cover. So I did soccer, mm-hmm. I think. I did a little bit of gymnastics and dodgeball.
Yeah.
I worked Focal Point News. And then luckily that was enough content to put together a short enough reel to get me an internship with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I moved down to Tampa and worked the off season with them, and they were super great. I learned Adobe Premiere and Adobe After Effects, which is what I use to this day. So they taught me a lot there. And then I got a production assistant job with the Baltimore Ravens after that internship, which was so cool because the Ravens are an awesome team to work for. And so I got to work game days with them, which was a huge experience. And they have a really, really good production department. So after that, I was fortunate enough to just move down the street to D.C. and work for an awesome baseball team. And now it's crazy because they're in the World Series. And there's been, like, so much talk about, you know, because obviously, you know, the how our season started, it was a little bit rocky. And I remember we were thinking about changing our marketing from good baseball to, like, your place for good food. But now we're in the World Series, so it was quite the switch.
For sure. So, Erin, you moved to Tampa Bay and then Baltimore and then D.C. What's been your favorite city so far?
Oh, man, I think they've all been cool. Florida, you know, I'm from Michigan. I'm from Metro Detroit. So Florida was a little too hot for me.
Yeah, especially in the summertime, right? In the summertime, it gets way too hot down there.
Oh, yeah. Training camp with the Buccaneers is, like, the most grueling weather I've ever seen. But, and carrying cameras and editing and running around with cards, it was hard. But I loved Baltimore. It's got, you know, it's not got a great reputation, but I loved it. It was so cool. It's right on the water. There's a lot of good places to eat. And I've just recently got to D.C., and I still haven't done everything yet because I started right when the season started. So it's been pretty busy for me so far. But maybe when the off season comes, finally, I'll get to go see D.C. a little bit more.
Definitely. And for those that don't know about the specifics of what a production and broadcast specialist does, and you mentioned a few of the programs that you learned while down in Tampa that kind of spearheaded your career when it comes to video editing and shooting video. For those that are just video stupid, what exactly do you do, Aaron?
Yeah, sure. So I'm mainly a shooter and editor. So I'm out in the stands shooting fan reactions and occasionally, like, games or community events. We've done, like, pop-up parties for our postseason run. So I've gone out to, like, inner D.C. and shot, like, fans just, you know, coming out of work on their lunch break. And then, hey, we have our mascot right outside, and he's giving you bobbleheads and stuff. So I go out and shoot a lot, and I edit, too. So I do a lot for social media and mainly for, like, in stadium. We have a lot of videos that run pregame and in between inning breaks. And especially now, the gates for the World Series open 3 hours before first pitch. So that's a huge window that we have to provide content for. So we need to make, like, 3 hours worth of content, which we have a lot of, but we've just got so much good footage from the last few weeks that, like, we just have so much that we want to show.
Wow. And that's a lot.
Regular season game, yeah, for a regular season game, the gates only open like an hour, 2 hours before first pitch. So this is a lot more time that we get to show fans what we do in our department.
So you're helping out with their Twitter pages and Instagram as well, or is it more than that? Snapchat as well? How many different social media avenues are you working on when it comes to that 3 hour window leading up to first pitch?
Yeah, so the 3 hours that is mainly for in game, that 3 hours that we have. Social media we have all day, but we've got all the social media, and me and my department, we produce content for it, and then we send it over to our social media guru, Mike. He's awesome, and he will write the copy for it and post it. But he is awesome, and he does it at, like, great timings throughout the day. So, like, for a last out, he has reactions to that out almost immediately. It's really cool.
Wow, that is very, very cool stuff. Okay, Aaron, take us into what it is like being there firsthand and witnessing the run to a World Series, especially, with, like, a few days ago. Was it last week when you guys booked the ticket to the World Series, or was it at the beginning of this week? I can't remember now.
Oh, man, it's been a whirlwind. I don't even remember, and I was there.
Exactly. What has it been like? I mean, what has it been like following this team? What was the celebration like? You know, watching the team celebrate, spray each other with champagne, and book that ticket. I saw some pictures of you on the field with your coworkers celebrating. Take us into firsthand what it's been like for you guys.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I think just because we've had such an interesting story for the season.
Yeah.
Like, I think I saw a stat that on May 24th, that's, like, the date that we credit our turnaround of the season. But I saw a stat that was, like, May 24th, we had, like, a 0.01% chance of winning the World Series, and now we're, like, 50-50, basically. So it's just been, like, defying odds of a season, and everyone is just so emotional about it because, like, we were basically count out, and now we're all the way here, and it's just been incredible to see, like, our wild card win was really close, and we ended up beating that, and then I was like, okay, on to the NLDS. We got the Dodgers. That's tough. But, you know, beat the Dodgers in game five. That's insane. And then sweeping the Cardinals has just been just nonstop. Like, wow, this team is really going to make it.
Right.
But for me, it's like, because I've been out shooting the fans primarily for this postseason. So I always, it's really funny. I have, like, my back to the field pointing the camera at the stands. So like, I just see the reaction on their faces. I'm like, the ball's in the air, and he made the last catch. And I just see the faces of the fans change. I haven't watched the game in a while, but it's so cool to, like, see their reactions, because I've had a lot of fans that I got to chat, like, crying, telling me that they've been season ticket holders for so long and, like, have never seen this because the team has never been to a World Series before. So, like, all these fans are so invested in it and so emotional. And I just get to stand at the front and point cameras at them and be happy when they're happy. But I was joking with one of the fans last time I was out shooting, and I was like, it was right when we were about to get the last out to go to the World Series, and she was holding her little baby, and it was kind of the wall, like, in between pitches. I was like, all right, you got to let me know if this one's in the air or if he strikes out. I went back to the field.
Right, because your back is to the field, so you're not watching pitch by pitch what exactly is happening. You're doing your job and trying to get that reaction so you can go back and edit all of that stuff. And it was actually Tuesday. Tuesday is when you guys, you know, closed the door against the Cardinals in that 7-4 win, solidifying the sweep against the Cardinals and booking that ticket. So immediately after, you know, that final out that sends you all to the World Series for, as you mentioned, Aaron, the first time in franchise history. What happened? What went through your mind? What did you have to do?
So just my first reaction was like, oh, get the shot. I'm going to need this. And it still didn't really hit me. I don't know if I'm just, like, superstitious, but I always just kind of prepare for the worst. So, like, it still hasn't really hit me, I don't think, that I'm working a World Series next week. But mm-hmm. I was just, like, in Cardiff, like, production shooting mode, like, get the shot, go talk to fans, make sure all this content looks great, check your focus. It's kind of dark, you know, iris up a little bit. And the fans were just coming, we were trying to get interviews with them, and they would just come up in the background screaming. So, like, the audio is so bad, but
right.
It was great, and you can feel, like, the emotion coming from them. So that was really cool. But we had cameras everywhere. We had, like, almost everyone in my department out shooting. So we had camera. We had, like, two in the locker room, and there was a trophy presentation on the field. So we had two there. We had a 360 cam up, and we had another camera in the booth for our radio callers, and we got their reaction. So we had a camera everywhere to get every single angle of this. And now we're working on putting that content up on the big boards for when fans come next weekend.
Wow, awesome stuff. You're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports. We are talking with Aaron Eschels, production and broadcast specialist for the World Series-bound Washington Nationals. Pretty remarkable stuff. Aaron, for you, what is the buzz like around the organization right now? What kind of conversations are you having with your colleagues about just how special this moment is for you all?
Yeah, we've been getting pretty sappy. It's been a lot of fun because there's a lot of people that have worked here that have been here since the very beginning, before Nats Park was even built. So they've been around the block forever with this team, and they kind of built up the department I'm in now. So to see their reactions, like, we've been waiting so long for this, and me just starting here this season, I'm like, oh, cool, like a World Series, that's fun. And they're all here crying, like, oh, it's been so long. But it was really cool to see, just like, from the mid-season, it was just so, you know, such a lull, because the team wasn't doing so great. Like, we were 19-31, so
right
now, like, going from that emotion to this has just been crazy, and it's just been, like I said, a whirlwind just having all of this going on in, like, the past few weeks, because this postseason's moving quick.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I'm curious, let's say that the Nets, you know, not only get there, but they win this whole thing. Do you guys get rings as well?
That's the question I keep getting texts about. But
yeah,
I know
here at Michigan State, like, the video production team, I remember when Rick Church was here, the former director of broadcasting at Michigan State, You know, he's got rings from the 2000 national championship that the MSU men's basketball team won, and he's got Big Ten championship rings from when Tom Izzo was one nose. So I'm wondering if you guys would get a ring if they do pull off this historic feat.
Yeah, they're cool. When I was with the Ravens, you know, the Ravens won in 2012. So a lot of the people I worked with at the Ravens would wear them to work. And they're big and they're flashy and they look awesome and I want one. But I haven't been gutsy enough to ask yet. But I decided I'll wait and see if there's the potential first, and then I'll ask to see if I'm on that list.
Okay, there you go. You don't want to rock the boat because you still just got there, right?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty superstitious about it. So, like, I'm not thinking about outcomes or I don't know. I'm just too nervous to set my expectations.
I totally hear you, Aaron. And if they do win this thing, I don't know, maybe you wear the good luck charm in your first year you're working there. They go all the way to the World Series. Okay, I'll just ask this question because I know you just said you're superstitious. I won't ask you to give a prediction. What I will ask you, though, is who do you want? Do you want the Yankees or the Astros?
Oh, man. So I've thought about this a lot, and originally I didn't care. But now I think I want the Astros, which is looking more like it will be the Astros. But I've thought about it, and this is the reason why. But first, their rotation is terrifying, and that's going to be problematic. But Imagine seeing – because I grew up Metro Detroit. I love the Tigers too. But a Scherzer and a Verlander – World Series would be so fun for me.
Right. Wouldn't that be insane if both of those guys are playing in the World Series, going at it against one another? And JV is going to be on the mound tonight, I believe, for that 7:08 p.m. First pitch. So wouldn't that be amazing? So that's why you want to see Houston in, huh?
Yeah. And I like the Yankees are cool, but I think just beating the Astros after – how great of a season they've had. And, like, we kind of pride ourselves here at the Nationals that we have the best starting rotation in the whole league. So to take down their scary starting rotation would be awesome.
All right. Well, Aaron, keep up the fantastic work. You're crushing it out there. And good luck. Good luck in the World Series, all right? Enjoy that experience. Soak it in. Soak it in, okay?
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to need to see you guys out there wearing your Nat hats.
We may just have to do that, all right, just for you, in support of you. All right, folks.
Perfect, thank you.
Yes, of course. Aaron Eschels, production and broadcast specialist for the World Series-bound Washington Nationals. Alec, let's hit our final break. Oh, did you want to chime in there? Your mic.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, with how bad the Tigers are doing, I might have to wear a Nats hat.
Yeah, preach on, right? Preach on, brother, because, oh, let's not even talk about the Tigers. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this week's current sports with Reflection Friday, that and more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Much thanks to former Current Sports PA Aaron Eschels, crushing things as a broadcast specialist for the Washington Nationals. Really great talking with her, and good luck to the Nats. Come World Series time, baby. Gotta love that. We've got some Big Ten football on the docket, of course, this weekend. Another week, week 8 to be exact, of college football. A few of the games taking place. Well, I'll give you the entire slate. Ohio State on the road at Northwestern. That is a night game that will take place actually tonight at 8:30 p.m. So some Friday night Big Ten action out at Ryan Field in Evanston, Illinois. I think Ohio State is going to just mollywop the Wildcats. You've got number 6 Wisconsin on the road at Illinois. Tomorrow afternoon, 12 p.m. kickoff. Purdue at number 23, Iowa. That's also a 12 p.m. kickoff. And then later on in the day at 3:30 p.m., number 20, Minnesota at Rutgers. Indiana at Maryland, also at 3:30 p.m. And then on ABC, Saturday night, number 16, Michigan, taking on number 7, Penn State. And I am going with Penn State in that game. I am just not a believer in this Michigan team. It surprises me that they are ranked still in the top 20 in the nation. I don't believe in Jim Harbaugh. I think that everybody is kind of seeing through him right now. He is overrated. He has been overrated since he took over that job. And Shea Patterson just cannot figure out this offense at all. So I'm going with Penn State to win by double digits in that game. Right now, looking at the spread, Penn State is just, I'm shocked at this, but just a 9-point favorite in that game. I think Penn State is going to win by at least 2 touchdowns, at least 14 points. So that's tomorrow night, your Saturday night football matchup in the Big Ten, Penn State and Michigan. And then, of course, next weekend, Michigan State will have its shot at beating the Penn State Nittany Lions. So, and I'm really glad that Michigan State has a bye week this weekend, because I just think that the squad as a whole, Mark D'Antonio and his staff, really need a week off just to get their minds right when it comes to how this year has gone. So I'll be watching that. And also, again, don't forget that the Detroit Lions will be in action against former Michigan State quarterback great Kirk Cousins on Sunday. Can the Lions rebound and try to forget? Yeah. Try to forget what happened on Monday Night Football. It's going to be tough. Real, real tough. I think that the Lions, I don't know. If they have short memories and can forget about it, I think the Lions pull this one out. But Kirk Cousins is playing really well. He's played well these past 2 weeks. We'll see if that Detroit Lions defense can continue to step up and cause some problems for respective offenses. So until Monday, folks, I want you all to have a great, great weekend. Enjoy this beautiful fall day that is Friday. And as always, be easy, people.